You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Hello and welcome to Line Noise, and we got a very big and juicy interview for you this week, none other than Paul Kalkbrenner, a man who I think shares quite a lot of my history in dance music, the big difference being he's become an absolutely vastly successful techno artist, and I'm sort of moving around doing what I'm doing, which is not being a successful techno artist. But anyway, we talked about his new album, The Essence, which is his first in 7 years, the kind of importance of the album to him, why he thinks it's his best album. I was talking about Depeche Mode, Eastern Europe, and playing in front of 500,000 people in front of the Brandenburg Gate. He was an absolutely lovely man, and I really hope you enjoyed the interview. Thank you so much for doing this. I'd start with a new album. The Essence is your first album in 7 years. It came out on Friday. How do you feel that it's out now?
Oh, in a way, kind of released, right? Relieved that, you know, once the work is done, then it takes so much time for it to roll out, and then finally it's here. So it's in a way also letting go, you know, now it's out. I let it go. I let it fly. Yeah, I'm very happy. I mean, first album, 7 years. In the meantime, I told everyone I would not do albums anymore.
Well, I was going to say,
like, I was wrong. It turned out it's what I like doing the most, actually. I had some, it was not even like intentionally an album made. It was just maybe a little more than a year ago that I realized I have again songs from a cycle, you know. So, and then I realized, yeah, let's do an album. And then they said, yeah, it still exists for some artists, so if somebody can do it, I can do it. So,
well, I was gonna say, why did you think you were finished with making albums?
Oh, because that's what all the, you know, analysis and all the indicators said, you know, the attention span for, you know, or like an album so short, you know, attention span shortened by all the people. And then it's just way too much work, you know. I work a lot on this, you know, this takes years over years of work, this, let's say, The Essence. And yeah, it's just one shot. And back then, when was it? I think in 2019. After I made No Goodbye, and I said that, hey, I can also do like nice single tracks. And it looked more, I don't know, than the better deal, you know? Making a song, then you have a shot, making a song, another shot. But it turned out for me it's quite boring, because I like to express myself with a musical album, with an LP.
So I was going to ask this, like, the album as a thing is very important for you, right?
Yeah, now from now on, I will make albums. Now it's clear. Even though it's dead for most of the artists, I'm an artist album, and I'm an album artist, and the people want to hear this from me. And I also enjoy it the most. I enjoy it very much, especially then when I'm very deep into it, and I'm not even looking at these single songs anymore, even though I work on them. But I'm actually one level higher looking at the entire album. It's what I also can do best, what I'm very good at, so I should do it.
So you said people aren't interested in the album. I'm not sure about that, you know, because I think there's always this dialogue that, you know, oh, young people don't care about albums. But whenever I speak to young bands or young producers or whatever, still the thing they want to make is an album.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I think it's quite good.
Maybe the times have shifted. And even the people who do make an album have often the bad luck that it has very much, you know, not very much attention grown after so much work. But as a thing, you know, of course, if you're an artist, if you see yourself as a real musician, then the long player is something you aim for. I get it. So.
And how long do you spend working on the track listing?
Oh, my God, it's like years over years. And there's also a lot of years of work, pre-work, because quite some songs contain ideas, maybe even the hook line which is 25 years old or even older, which because I'm very good archived with my own stuff. And again, saving the time tunnel, having maybe using an idea for myself, which I would not have anymore because I'm doing it for so many years and was like the superstar for so many years. You know, maybe some fresh ideas I wouldn't have anymore. And I'm combining it with the skills I have now because I'm so much better also compared to the last album in my way of production, how I have this all in my hands. So I can combine this 90s drive of the young Paul with what I am able to do today. And it's also, how can I say, I don't think many men my age profit now from having been so diligent and having worked so much as young men. And it's true, because I made so much music. I was at Beepitch on the label back then, and there was not many slots for me to release. So there's a huge treasure of songs, half songs, and just hook lines and ideas and sounds from back then through all the years. And I have it all archived, and I'm overseeing it. And that's why it's called The Essence. I really work with everything, with every age of myself.
I mean, how does that work though? Like, because you know, you must have so many ideas stored up. Is it literally just an idea will occur to you and you'll be like, I had that great idea back in, you know, 2014 that could work with this beat or whatever?
It's more like that you consistently listen through it.
Right.
That you never forget what's there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have the capacity for it. I'm not a DJ. I'm not asked to know about the music, what is released these days, what is required of a DJ, because we all want him to, you know, to know all the music and then choose from. I don't have to do this. It's a huge privilege. I can just sit here in my own salsa and just be so self-referential and self-reflective. And I don't even have to come up new. You know, all the artists my age have a long career, especially here, my friends here from German hip hop and stuff, they have to like invent themselves new, you know, to come up to the young audience. And I don't have to do this. I just have to, you know, everybody who just wants that it still sounds like it always has best, like somehow like Berlin Calling, and then everybody's happy, you know? So it's all very self-referential and self-reflective. And I'm happy I can do this, you know, I'm standing in a 30-year-long time tunnel again. And
well, you mentioned once in a previous interview that you don't listen to much music that you don't create yourself. Is that still true?
That's still the case, yeah. Even though I'm more open in the way of, you know, I played very many times Ibiza this year, and then on our little after parties there was electronic music running, which I genuinely like. I was going there to look it up, what it is, and save it for myself. So it's a little bit less not looking left and right than in other years. But yeah, it's not much. Especially, right. I had so much to do with my own music. It was a lot of work, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. In the same interview, I think you said that you don't listen to much music that you that you don't create yourself. But like now you have children, they give you music to listen to. I was wondering, do they like your music?
Yes, it's amazing. They do. There's two girls, 10 and 4, mm-hmm. and they both like it very much. They also are absolutely into the video from Temple Cachet for the Stromae song, which they want to watch on repeat. And this is such a blessing. I mean, was already a little bit late father, and mm-hmm. that I can listen with my kids to my music. It's really nice.
I think it's great. And they must think you're a pretty cool dad as well.
Yeah, also, yeah.
going back to The Essence. It opens with a song called 92.
Yeah, it does.
Is that a shout out to your past, I guess?
This is when it all started for us, you know, getting into techno and buying the first records and wanting to become a DJ. Still far away from thinking that we could produce music one day, but it was when it all began.
Are you quite a nostalgic person?
Yes. Not quite. Very. Very much. This and also the very forward, you know, so It's weird, very nostalgic, but also very forward-looking and future-awaiting.
So I'm a very nostalgic person as well, and I'm also pretty much the same age as you. So I'm interested. What is that? If you think about, like, you know, the dance music of the past, is there like one club you'd love to go back to?
Yeah, of course. It's the E-Werk, which existed, I think, as a club which had like open like every weekend. I think it had like 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years. And funny thing, I met someone on a vintage car event who works for Bugatti. Mm-hmm. He makes interior designs. And he told me they are there inside now, and he invited me. So soon I will go there and look at this, at this place, you know. It was like, probably will be much smaller than I remember it. But yeah, it was amazing. This was very, yeah, very long nights. Very long nights, very, very good techno. 95, 96, and 97. And then it closed, 97. That was it. And, because the new Ministry of Finances from Germany, you know, when they moved from Bonn to Berlin, had already opened the year before. And it was always weird, you know, when they came to work there and there was still this rave going on Monday, also till like 1400, like 2 p.m.
I was, so I mean, I, again, sort of looking back, a lot of the electronic music I love from that time, from the early 90s, feels like kind of really quite random and not badly put together, but just strangely put together, if you know what I mean. Do you think, I sometimes wonder, okay, maybe this is me just being old. I sometimes wonder if we miss a bit of that today, like that techno is maybe a bit too efficient. What do you think?
I would say, I mean, do you know my Back to the Future series?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's why I wanted
to
ask.
You see, also there, I very, very, many of those songs are edited because they become too much in the last third or big after the half. And so I took the beginnings and the ends and stuff and edited to, I don't know how to say, to a less annoying, you know, like, because back then, also my early productions, you know, like, it's putting deep into the keys, yeah, and everything, and not another trend, this, and coming this. And so need to be a little bit minimalized.
Yeah.
Minimalized. And, but still, it has so much power. And like somehow the entire album is a little bit like this 92 song. The 92 song is a little bit like early 90s, not so much like very roaring bass lines. It's very much kick oriented, the entire album.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, very much. Yeah. It's also fast, much faster than, well, if I listen to the 7 album today, I don't know, maybe because I just became a father for the first time and everything was so quiet and let down, you know. I ask myself, why are the songs so slow on this album on 7? Why are they 124 beats per minute? What the fuck? Why? So, I don't understand anymore. So, yeah.
What a thing that
I
really
can also say, The Essence is my very best work so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
May there be bigger hits on other albums like 7 or Berlin Calling. All these albums have fillers. 2, yeah. 3, even 4. This album does not even have not a filler. It doesn't have a filler moment. It has, I say, it's a chain of 12 pearls where every single one of them has the potential to become among the some hardcore Paul Kalkbrenner fans from 20 years, their most favorite song. Like each of those 12 have the potential to. And that's what I try to achieve. Of course, now with Sony, Stromae, Depeche Mode, of course we want to make it as big as possibly. We look how we end up in the charts now and at the end of the week. But of course, the approach was that the hardcore, the very long-time die-hard Paul Kalkbrenner fans listen to the album and say, yes, that's yes. That was the approach.
So tell me about Dreaming On, your song with Depeche Mode. I'm a huge fan of Depeche Mode. I'm guessing you are too, right?
Yes, and not that. And what year you're born?
1977.
Me too.
Yeah.
So the thing is, here in Berlin, East Berlin, you know, the thing is, I was from the area where the dude, there was the story, because Depeche Mode came to East Berlin once in 87. And nobody knew if they would ever come back or if the wall would come down. And this dude exchanged for a ticket, which he didn't have last evening, his MZ250, the best motorbike in East Germany. And you know how the traffic situation was, how you waited for cars and everything, you know. This was this story. And all those hardcore mode fans in my proximity were all like 3, 4 years older. But of course, among these people now, you know, I'm still connected with the neighborhood I'm coming from, where there was just this naming of the sports field from Sparta Lichtenberg. For them, I'm the absolute hero now with this thing. You know, but this is for hero before, but now with the Depeche Mode thing, like officially granted, you know, I hear that they have thousands of requests that they turn everything down. So it was even Rob Stringer, the overboss from Sony International, who like personally got involved to actually clear this with the Depeche Mode management. Very, very nice effort, and we're very happy.
Because that's the thing, like when obviously Depeche Mode were massive everywhere and still are, but like I always remember reading and hearing that in Eastern Europe they were especially big, like they were just ridiculously big.
Yeah, because of the thing that you can't see in life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't go, you know? So that's why, you know, the dude, he headed in his motorcycle for a time, thinking they'll never come back and the wall never come down. It was 87.
Have you met the band?
Not.
One
not
day.
Not in person.
Not in person. It's got to happen. It's got to happen.
It's going to happen. I think they have also asked for, also, I think they're looking for maybe that remixes will take place. So,
oh,
there I would even know what to choose, you know. So,
going back to the album, I was just talking about this before you came on. I was listening to the album and the sort of end run, Mein Freund, Unser, Kreitis Boy, Wonderful Life, and Die Trompeten von Berlin. I was suddenly thinking, this is quite melancholy in a way, in a way I really enjoyed. Is that sort of a conscious thing for you?
It is. Mein Freund Onze is dedicated to a friend of mine. His name was Onze. He died this year. And this is the song which should never be played on a party or festival. And it's like in a movie. This has the timing, you know. There's like three songs left. But I think it's coming up from there, from this, if you will, like down point. Yeah, but of course, my music is always melancholic. But then at the end, in Kompeten, of course, not anymore. You know, then it's full on. That's what it is. The Cornetus Boy brings all the hopes back. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Wonderful Life is, you know, there you at the Wonderful Life again. Or they're not the Trompeten from Berlin. That's the statement. So, yes, melancholy, yes, but also, like, for me, it goes after song 9. Straight upwards again.
And we got to speak about Stromae as well. How did you end up working with him?
Oh, I made a remix for him when he just entered the game in 2009 for his song Tequila, which is still a cornerstone of every live set I play. And I even played it more often than Sky and Sent, what a survey said. The song always runs, and this time I had meeting ready, and we were like, "Yeah, what's with Stromae? Let's just send him this. Maybe he has an idea." And then he just sends us this back. So amazing!
He sent it back just done.
Yeah, like 5 days. Like, wow! 5 days later, sent it back done. I said, "I don't want another take. Just I take this one. I take this one." And it's so amazing. You don't even know, is he saying it or is he singing it?
Yeah.
Now it's somewhere in between. And it's absolute Paul Kalkbrenner track, but also from his perspective, very much Stromae track fits very good to all of his oeuvre.
I want to ask, you mentioned earlier that like this is the first album that doesn't have any filler on it. But presumably when you were doing the other albums, you didn't think of the songs as filler.
Oh, yes. I was more than people may think, very, very much aware of what I'm releasing.
Right, right.
You know, I'm very much, I of course very much surprised by the Berlin Calling a success, but this was more surprised by the success of the movie, you know. The music, everything came in the aftermath. So, but especially after that, I had a very good overview of what I was doing and how good this was. So I knew that the, so from my perspective, the Ich gebe wieder den guten Tag, they are medium as well as the Parts of Life. So you can't make an outstanding album every time. Mm-hmm. And here we have another one. I mean, 10 years after Seven. Perfect.
I have a question from a friend of mine. My friend, he's an absolutely massive fan. Like he sort of comes over from London to see you play. Really, really big fan. Him and his girlfriend. His question, and I thought it was a very good question. Basically, is there like a sound, a sample, or a sound that you're particularly pleased with that you've used in your music?
Yeah, I mean, like I had always, like when I was a child, there was pop music, you know, it was a short part with some pads, you know, stringy pads. I always wanted this in instrumental and stuff. So, yeah, but there are some. And yes, of course, like especially when you speak of early techno and you see that my Back to the Future is a very personal selection of it, you know. It leaves all the acid and industrial and hardcore techno out of it, concentrates on the nice melodic and party techno.
Yeah.
So, by the way, good idea. We'll listen to these three mixes again later on.
Do you ever go out running?
Not so much. I mean, I do training and regeneration now for 1 year, very like intensely with huge machinery and stuff. But the running is not part yet of it.
Okay, just going to say those mixes work very well for that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, ah, right. So I should try it.
I know. Well, it's good. It's good. Oh, look, I know you don't have much real time. You're going to be playing.
Right, I do. It's fine.
You're going to be playing The Essence live, starting at ADE.
I play half of it already for entire summer.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I mean. Well, what are the gigs going to be like with The Essence?
Not much different than the others. As I said, Mein Freund Onze and maybe also some others won't even make it to the live set because I'm not playing them. Just the entire album. I have always, you know, I never know what I will play. You know, I just know the ones I want to play definitely, and then I just go on stage and then I start, you know, and work myself through my stuff. It will be always mixed with, you know, like especially when I'm just into one where I know it's from now, The Essence. I really much in the next moment feel like I don't want to play and like go to another one from The Essence. I want to go to someone from 2015 or 2005, you know. So it will not change much.
And you said Mein Freund Onze, you're not going to be playing live because it's too personal, right?
It's the song which I would recommend, or I want to not be running loud on a festival or on a party because it's for my friend who died. Mm-hmm. If I can say to this, you know, you're free to do whatever you like, you know?
Yeah. No,
but if you know it and you hear it, then you probably would say, yeah, I don't want to. So everybody who knows the story about it and hears the song maybe knows themselves.
Yeah.
Just instinctively.
Talking of playing live, I've always wondered, in 2014, you played to no fewer than 500,000 people in front of the Brandenburg Gate. How on earth does that feel? I mean, that's such a vast crowd.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even see them much because it was... It's like on this very, like, stretched at the end for 500,000 people, but it's going over kilometers on actually, what is it? It's like the Champs-Élysées, you know? Like,
Yeah.
So there was even after 20 minutes, we realized, is there even sound outside? No, it's just your huge monitoring bumping here for the front people. Very nice. So then it was on. it didn't even look much. So there are other gigs who look much more because it was so, it was also dark, you know, it was November 9th,
and
the day after war came down. So.
So no one came up to you and said, look, there's 500,000 people. That would have been quite unhelpful.
Oh, we knew that it's that much, you know, but because we knew that it's also the fan mile during the World Cup.
Ah, know? Right. Yeah.
So exactly that. But also then it's so long, you know, it's so many different zones. It's like, I don't know, 2.5 kilometers. It stretches. And then very thin. And then you have the trees on the sides, you know, and then it doesn't look so much.
It must have been amazing, though.
It was amazing, though. But yeah, I have to say, it did not look like 500,000 people. There were other crowds, 50,000 people, who looked much bigger.
Yeah. And you were the first techno artist to play Tomorrowland's main stage, which typically is more commercial, I would say. Like,
it is, but it opened, and since then, also all the other techno artists are also playing there frequently. So.
Is that why you wanted to play there, to sort of open things up?
Of course. I'm opening things up.
But did you feel like you had to do something a bit different when you were there?
Or no, I knew that that's not how you do this. You need to do your very own thing, even though quite some people, especially at the main stage from Tomorrowland, do not understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more question, if I may. How was playing Primavera earlier this year?
One of the best this year.
Yeah?
From the crowd to the stage to the artist village.
Nice.
Very nice.
Look, Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Congratulations on the album. I think making your best album, what, sort of 25, 20, 30 years in, is something to be very proud of.
Yeah, let's see how far it flies. Let's see.
I think it will go pretty far. But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a nice day.
Have a lovely day.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.